Blog Talk Radio.
Party in the Spirit of America party book. We got about 90 minutes of propaganda all loaded, ready to go, but the receiver is kind of slow, so I'm going to have to wait on the reception committee to load the two 40-minute segments I put together. In the meantime, I'm going to treat you to some great music, and here's Johnny Mathis with A Certain Smile.
A certain smile, a certain face that certain smile to have your heart again.
The great Johnny Mathis. Everybody loved Johnny Mathis. Did it matter what Johnny Mathis's lifestyle was like? No. He kept to himself. He didn't do dumps in the street. He lived his life like a gentleman. And nobody cared what he was or what he did. They just loved Johnny Mathis. You might say he was a million to one.
The odds were against me. What could anyone do when the chances that you were a million to one?
Philadelphia, maybe Detroit, but it was pretty good. It was excellent. Everybody was a movie star. Everybody was a singing star. But, of course, then the Money Boys came in and ruined everything. And before you know it, you don't have a nation anymore. People are telling you that you can't get a 2-liter bottle of Coke delivered with your pizza because you can't prove that you're dividing 8 slices among 8 people. When are we going to become a nation once again?
We have late breaking news that we're going to open the show with. It's just been announced that Mike Savage has been banned from England. And we're going to up that report with a later report, which hasn't broken yet. You're hearing it first on this show for the first time, and that is that Mike Savage has been linked to the IRA. For months now, the rumor has grown wings, and Michael Savage has been banned from England and identified by British intelligence as an IRA member. British Pakistani Parliament has shown footage of Michael Savage joining the IRA at a local Chase Manhattan Bank. And here's a photo of him punching in his password at an all-the-men machine, commonly known as the ATM. It is alleged that his connection to the IRA is at the highest level, the Roth division. World News Daily reports that IRA really means Independent Radio Man's Association. But British intelligence refutes that denial. In other news today, the Queen of England has been denied a visa to New York City. Former Mayor Giuliani stated, "We already have queens, and Staten Island doesn't want her either." However, Mike is to be knighted by Sir Thomas O'Donnell, the 5th Earl of Clonmel, Tipperary, Ireland, and given the clan shield. And two new symbols have been added to the coat of arms in honor of Michael the Archangel Savage. One is a sword through the heart, which symbolizes that only a beautiful woman can pierce our hearts. And the other is a sword through a pig, which indicates we now keep kosher. Rise now, Sir Michael Savage, and hoist your glass with us.
I bend me to that bidding. The spirit of each selfish plan, with cruel passion ridding. But yet I hope someday to aid. Oh, can such hope be vain, when my dear country will be made a nation once again, a nation once again, a nation once again, and Ireland long a province be, a nation once again, a nation.
Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. I just wanted to start off the show tonight with a little comment. This week, Rush Limbaugh has said he's ashamed for the first time in his life to be an American. That's a startling revelation. And I just got off the radio listening to Bob Grant. And Bob Grant is saying, it's over, folks. It's over. And his last call that had called in said, once they legalize the 30 million illegals in this country, that will be the end of the conservative party. They will be all in check. I don't know how many conservatives there are. I would assume that it's 30 million, maybe more. And hang in there.
The thing we got to ask ourselves is, who is our enemy? Who is our enemy? Who wants to destroy the United States? And why are we still in the UN? Who wants to destroy the United States? And why would we take the word of the International Atomic Commission on how close Iran is to having a nuke when Mohammed Baradei was the inspector covering it up? The UN is not for the U.S. The UN is for the toppling of the U.S. And we're all in trouble. And by the time we realize we're in trouble, it's going to be too late. The next war is going to be a 60-second war. And if we're not up for the game, we will be destroyed. Already the Chinese are hacking corporations, seizing technological plans and creating companies to compete against them, and they will have prices and advantage because slave labor caused nothing. Now people are regretting the fact that Nixon opened China. And if you stop to think about it, we gave him the technology to come out of the Stone Age, and we loaned them money, and we chased all our industry to China with the help of the Greenpeace communists. And now China is, we're buying all their goods, and we owe them money because we can't pay our bills. And you got a communist president who is telling you that you're going to have to wait an hour longer to get on a plane, because the only people that he can see that can lose their jobs because everybody else is operating at full capacity are the airline workers, the controllers. We're in trouble. We're in deep trouble. And we're beyond debate. The time has come to preach Americanism, and it has to be the new gospel, because the people in the choir haven't heard it. They don't know what the American gospel is. They know what the communist gospel is. They think that's the American gospel, but it's not. And the only consolation, while guys like Limbaugh and Bob Grant are losing hope, the only consolation I can give you is that during the American Revolution, only 25% of the country fought for the American side. The others either were loyalists to Britain, or they were straddlers on defense, noncommittal. And that's what we have today. So as long as we got 25% who can stand and fight, we'll have a fighting chance. When we no longer have 25% who can stand and fight, we won't have a fighting chance. But the fact that this communist government wants to take your guns away is a major indication that they consider you a threat, which means they're not confident enough to enact the crimes that they plan to perpetrate while you still have a gun. And that's why they're going to take it away. But to counteract that, what we need is more militias. Being that they're shrinking the military down and they're filling it with pregnant women, it is time to form more militias, which is guaranteed in the Second Amendment. And that's what we're going to have to do. Now, let's take a look at the hit on the Catholic Church. The communists intend to destroy the Catholic Church, and that goes back to the 1930s, when Stalin asked the question, how many tanks does the Pope have? And so they're going to destroy it using the tactics that are taught in communist school, the writings of Antonio Gramsci, which says if you want to destroy something, infiltrate it. And that's, if you take a look at America's ability to negotiate over the last 50 years, we don't do very good. We lose in negotiations. Communists love to negotiate. It is their way of forming a coalition, and then they'd only have to kill half the coalition to become the whole coalition. And we don't do good in negotiations. When we walk away from the negotiating table, we are giving a piece of America away. There's only one negotiation that works, and that's the one that Harry Truman used. Unconditional surrender. That's the one you can win and keep. Keep the win. So, you say a little prayer for Taiwan, say a little prayer for Japan, say a little prayer for the Philippines. Soon they will all be under the cloud of communism. The Red Chinese intend to be a world power dominating the world. And one day, the Russians will be worried too. But they are communists, and they have the same goal, and the goal is the destruction of the United States. And look what they've done in the colleges. They're all communists. When you got abortion clinics in Catholic colleges, we're lost. We're gone. We're food for the worms. We're already in the ground. Okay, so having said that, let me give you a tune to cheer you up. Welcome to the Spirit of America and the Spirit of America Party Book. And the Catholic Church is under siege, and they're using homosexuality to destroy it. And again, just like the United States, only 25% of the Americans were American and fought of the revolution. The Catholic Church can go down to 12% over again. And I'm not worried about what Pope the Cardinals pick. I pray that my God picks the next Pope. I pray that my God picks the next Pope. And if my God will do that, we'll have a chance. And he's your God too, whether you know it or not. I was looking up Carson, Ben Carson. He's a Seventh-day Adventist. I wanted to see what religion he was, because I believe religion is the foundation of good government. And I don't know too many Seventh-day Adventists, but the ones that I do know are deeply religious, and they are honest and good people. And I think that one hero that was in the army on Iwo Jima, I'm pretty sure it was on Iwo Jima, he saved like 280 guys. He refused to fire a weapon. He was a conscientious objector. And they made him a medic. And he used to go out at night and bring wounded guys back that were left on the battlefield. And he became a hero. I can't remember his name. I should know it. And I think he was a Seventh-day Adventist. And they even held up an assault on a hill until he finished reading his Bible. Because they noticed that the previous day's attack, they attacked two hills, and the hill that he was on, nobody died. So when they were getting ready to do another hill, they said, come on, we're going to do another hill. And he said, I got to read my Bible first. And they held up the attack while he read his Bible. And I can't remember his name. Southern boy. Good man. One of God's children. Hang in there. We'll give you a tune. Grammys are tonight. I can't wait. The Grammys. I call them the crappies. Half the movies are crap and the other half are get-by stuff.
It's the Oscars.
And they're going after Zero Dark 30 because Obama wasn't in it in his SEAL outfit. Yeah. And he was having trouble balancing the ball on his nose. Oh, man. What a joke. And Argo was good. And Argo should be a new buzzword. Because there's two other words that go with Argo. And Ben Affleck. I would love to see Ben Affleck's next movie. Ladies and gentlemen, Academy Award winner Ben Affleck, the hero of Argo, now presents the Benghazi cover-up, starring Hillary Clinton and President Barack Obama Hussein Amin. Yeah. Watch how these guys are abandoned on a rooftop and the media covers it up. Yes. Showing Tiger Woods golf shots. Yeah. Oh, the 911 call just came into the White House. Everybody's in the Situation Room. They're watching live on TV as Americans are being cut to pieces and sodomized. Oh, they dropped that word like a bad habit. You heard it in the first report that he was gang raped. The ambassador, he was gang raped. Yeah, and they took that right out of the news. They don't want to startle the American chupeta suckers. Yeah, unbelievable, man. Unbelievable. And, of course, we have the CIA chief, John Brennan, and he speaks Arabic. Assalamu alaikum, everybody. Give them what they want. And, you know, did you ever think about this? We're going to give them Egypt, the Muslim Brotherhood, the guys who are torturing Mubarak, who America abandoned. You see, once you're a friend of America, like you're a Shah or you're a president for 20 years, keeping the border closed so that Al-Qaeda can't go into Israel. After you do your good deeds for America, America abandons you. Just ask the Taiwanese. They were throwing right out with the bathwater when we all made the overtures to the big buyer, Red China. Now we all work for the big buyer. You're working for the Chinese. You don't know it yet because they haven't come here and put you in the glove factory. But we owe the Chinese money. How are we paying them back? We're paying them. They owe us. They could come here tomorrow and take over 2 million homes because they hold the bad mortgage paper. Oh, we take this house here, and we take this one here. Oh, we take the white one in Washington, that big white one. Yeah. You know what? We take the needle too, that one needle. You got oil? Yeah, we'll take oil. Yeah, we're going to be in Idaho. We're in Idaho now. Yeah, we like potatoes. We got windmills. We got big windmill farm in Washington, right next to the American Navy base where they're experimenting with drones. Yeah, we got an eye on them. We don't have satellite in sky this week. But after we get the technology from your computer, we'd be in on the moon with a colony in 2014. And you could come wave goodbye to us when you get a ride with the Russians. You American suckers. And you know you did it to yourself. You deserve everything you get. And you know, this is a nice country. We like this country. You can't stay here no more. Hello, Egypt. Egypt. This is China. Communist China. Yeah, that's us. You know what? You know the Americans are now saying they won't use the word communist when they talk about China. They don't. You can't say Chi-Coms. It's been taken out of your subdued vocabulary. They now say National China. Nationalist China. Nationalist China was Chiang Kai-shek. Nationalist China is over there in Formosa, practicing self-defense for when the big onslaught comes, when Genghis Khan II comes to subdue Taiwan. And what are we going to do? Hey, China, cut that out. That's not nice. You know what? We're going to form a committee. We're going to have an investigation, and we're going to send nobody. and we're not going to do anything because we're wussies. We're the we're tough. We made Rambo. We made that movie where we won in Vietnam. Yeah, man, we're screwed. Hello, Egypt. This is China. Yeah, listen, do me a favor. You know, we send you a lot of AK-47s and no charge. And do me a favor, will you? Listen, you're getting a shipment from the United States, from the State Department, which is like a little KGB. It's controlled by KGB. And if you could, the State Department is going to send you 22 F-16s and 200 Abrams tanks. Could we get one F-16 and one Abrams tank? I appreciate that very much. You're good people. And if you ever need anything from us, like AK-47s, aircraft carrier sinking missiles, yeah, you give us a call right away. We for you. We for the little guy. Welcome to Cover Up Country. We can cover up anything. We can cover up murder. We can cover up losing a country. As a matter of fact, if New York took an atomic hit and was gone tomorrow, I bet you the press could cover it up for at least 6 weeks. All the area codes, the 212 area code and the 718 area code, they've been replaced. Okay, thank you very much. Yes, now just dial 201 until the next hit. Do you remember 911? When you think of 911, what picture flashes into your mind first? I would say all those people trapped on the 80th floor, watching the smoke pour out. And probably the second one that would flash into your mind would be that great white cloud chasing everybody down the street and people looking behind, looking back to see if it was catching up to them. Now, 911 is forgotten. Nobody knows we're in a war. We're in a 100-year war with the Saracens. We're in a 100-year war with Islam. Islam knows it. Communist China knows it. The Soviet Union knows it. Only the United States doesn't know it. 98% of the people in the United States don't know we're in a war. We're all living in latte frappe land. You'd think we would at least have drills on how to evacuate a city like New York when the big mushroom goes off. Or we get a 10 minutes notice. Have you ever practiced evacuation? Do you know how to do it? Do you know where to go? Did you ever have a drill? They have fire drills in school when there's a little fire. Why wouldn't you have an atomic drill? The first thing you got to learn is how to roll up your mattress, carry it over your head, and practice going over the George Washington Bridge. Yeah, we're in trouble, right? You better believe we're in trouble. If we're not strong, we are all going to die. It doesn't matter who serves this country. If we're not strong, we're all going to die. And never forget, there's only 1% who really know what's going on in this country. And we're the 99% that never gets the word. And the communists, that's the Democrat Party, are the masters of blame and deflect and sideshows. They never show you the main event. The main event is where they're working to destroy you. They will always take you to the sideshow. This is a little sideshow here today for you to get involved in and to watch what's going on. Yes, this outrage. There's an outrage there. Somebody said the N-word. Yes, that's where you concentrate. And over here, we're going to disarm this country and we're going to open the doors to 30 million illegals who will vote Democratic as they are told. And that's it. You keep over here, you keep fighting race. And don't forget, after you're tired of fighting race, we'll make some gay issues. And you concentrate on those gay issues. In the meantime, we're going to reduce our nuclear stockpile to 2 Joe Biden shotgun shells. And then we're going to tell the Soviets, well, we did it first, now it's your turn. Yeah. We're in trouble, man. And we can't pay our bills. And we don't know how to cut expenses. Unbelievable. Hi, my name is Tom, and I thought I'd just drop in today to see how you guys are making out. What's the name of your agency?
Why, we're the EPA.
Oh, how you making out? How you doing today?
Oh, we're doing our job. Yes, we've wiped out the fishing industry. We've wiped out the farming industry. Tomorrow we'll wipe out the forestry industry. And not only that, they're afraid of us. We use the Roman tactics, you know. We burn one village, and then we tell the rest we're coming, and they bow to us. We're the EPA. Yes. Do you know that there's a guy trying to make a living in Massachusetts, and he's a fisherman, and he can only work 3 days a year? That's because of our due diligence. If it wasn't for us, he'd be fishing all year long. He'd be earning a living. Yes, we're doing our job. We're the EPA, and we're going after big oil. President Obama told us to get Exxon, and we're going to get Exxon. We're not going after BP, though, because BP kicked back to the president $15 billion. Yeah, and they're running nice ads that everything is hunky-dory. Yes, we're the EPA. And what can we do for you today? Oh, I just wanted to serve you with this notice from the American people. Oh, how interesting. What does it say? It says, this latrine is closed. Get your shit and get out of here. How you doing? I'm doing a survey of college students that have student loans. Do you have a student loan, sir? No, I don't have a student loan. Gee, most of your buddies here are into hock for $100,000. How come are you well off? Yeah, I'm well off. What do your parents pay? No, my parents don't pay for me. Well, how do you get by? I sell drugs. I'm up $300,000 this year. And I'm graduating. How about some of the kids that won't graduate because they OD'd? That's their problem. Well, how about some of the kids that are going to graduate with a Jones? That's their problem. They can see me on the side. I got no problem with that. I can always help somebody out. Well, good luck to you. What are you going to be? You got any? I'm going to be a senator. Oh, yeah, man, I want some of that big money. I know where the big money is. You don't think that $187,000 a year keeps those guys going, do you? Do you know that the average senator gets $20 million in war chest money? The war chest that never goes to war? And whatever they don't spend, they get to keep? I'm going after the real money this time. And the first thing I'm going to do is make drugs legal. Just like abortion. So how do you like that two shot story? Joe Biden and his two shots. Yeah, two shot Joe. Listen, honey, if there's people in the house, all you have to do is go out on the balcony or up on the roof or on the porch and fire the shotgun, the two rounds, up in the air. And, hello, honey, what? You can't untie yourself? Yeah, what a jerk. What a jerk. And he's been getting paid all these years for being a senator from Delaware. Woo! Woo! He goes to Scranton, Pennsylvania, talks to the coal miners. And then when their backs are turned, he closes the mine. Yeah. Pennsylvania, I don't know how you could have voted for Obama. You betrayed every coal miner. You betrayed every American that ever had to work in a coal mine. You sold out your own people. For what? What are you going to get out of it? You're getting nothing. And when the draft comes back, your kids will be the first to be called. And the draft is coming back because the military isn't big enough to fight the onslaught that's coming. You may have a draft at gunpoint. Yeah. Here they come, the demonstrators with their signs. Okay, drop the signs, boys, and get on the truck. You're going right to the front. No basic training this time. Yeah. Unbelievable. Stress cards. Yeah, and there'll be no stress cards. Okay there, McNeil. You take that 50 caliber and you get up there on that mountaintop and you kill anybody that comes through. Sorry, Sarge. Can't do it. I'm having my period. Yeah. Oh, man. We're in trouble. We're in trouble. And there's the other guy. What's his name? Where's he from? Arizona? Colorado. Oh, God. There's a state that went down the tubes, didn't it? That's the West Coast version of Vermont. Colorado. Rocky Mountain High. Yeah. Yeah. If we can just stop growing it, we'll be okay. Yeah, Colorado. Isn't that the home of the trench coat mafia? Yeah, they're doing wonderful. They're doing great. They didn't bother to disarm the trench coat mafia, though. No, they were misunderstood children. Yes, society. Where did we fail them as a society? We failed to kick them in the ass. That's where we failed. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Spare the baseball bat, spoil the child. Unbelievable, man. We're in trouble. This could be a Bible story. The collapse of the United States, a Bible story. Greater than Antony and Cleopatra. Greater than Solomon and Bathsheba. Yeah. Was it Solomon or David? David. Greater than David and Bathsheba. Greater than Solomon and the Queen of Sheba. Better than Nick and Gloria. Oh, man. Are we in trouble? A Bible story right here in our own land. The prodigal son, he never comes back. Yeah. He sues his father. Oh, God help us. And so this guy from Colorado, he says to the girls, get a whistle. Get a whistle. And the only problem with getting a whistle is that wolf packs who rape, they have whistles too to bring the rest of the pack in for the kill. What she needs the whistle for is to get the rhythm down for pulling the trigger. You blow the whistle and then you pull the trigger on the pistol. Blow the whistle, pull the trigger on the pistol. Yeah. I served in the army with a country boy, and when I think of him, he looked like the guy in Full Metal Jacket, the guy that killed the drill sergeant. And he was a real friendly guy, and he was a good guy. And I'll tell you something, if I ever had to go into combat, I'd want him to be on my right flank. I'll tell you what happened. We were down in Fort Hood, Texas, and we were out on maneuvers, and we were told that the lieutenant was going to probe the lines, and you had to have a password, a challenge and a password. And if anybody approaches the line, your area of protection, what you have to do is shout, "Halt, who goes there?" And then, "This is a lieutenant." And then you give him the challenge. Like, "Take me out to the..." And then he's got to answer a ball game. And then you say, "Okay, you can come on through." So we're out there. It's cold. It's nighttime. And there's a full moon. And we can see silhouettes moving. And they're moving to my buddy on the right. And all of a sudden I hear, "Blam! Blam, blam, blam! Halt! Who goes there?" And he shot the lieutenant with a blank right underneath the lieutenant's shoulder. Armpit, and because it was hot, the lieutenant thought he'd been shot, and he was feeling for blood. And the sergeant, who was from Hawaii, said, "Don't worry about it, lieutenant. They can't kill lieutenants." But that's the guy I want on my right. I don't want to hear this. "Well, you know, if they pull the guns on us, we have to call and get permission to fire back." Yeah, no thanks. Get rid of all those JG lawyers, put them all on the front line, let them be scouts, get them out of the Pentagon. If Patton ever went into the Pentagon and did a walkthrough, every other window would have somebody flying out of it. Yeah, what a golf clubs. This is what they got at the Pentagon today, golf. Yeah, they're in competition with the president. They're all going to meet on the golf course. Yeah, we've been invaded. The Russians came in over Alaska. And Sarah Palin could see them coming from her window. Remember when they did that? They smeared Sarah Palin. Did you ever see anybody so smeared as Sarah Palin was? Huh? Did they hate her? Imagine if she was a nun, what they would have done to her. Yeah. I use the term, if somebody's getting railroaded, I call it they're being Sarah Palin'd. Yeah, Saturday Night Live was deathly afraid of Sarah Palin. You know Saturday Night Live, the communist network that mocks Christ for Lent. They open up the attack on the Christians on the first Saturday in Lent. They mock Christ. Yeah, they compare him to Quentin Tarantino. Oh, are they going to be in trouble when they die? Yeah. Oh, they're going to be in Boiler Number 3 with Ted Kennedy. Yeah. Hang in there. I'll give you a tune. Are you going to the funeral for the Constitution? What funeral for the Constitution? It's only one amendment. What does that matter, one amendment? Well, maybe two. We'll do one and two.
My brain. In a lonely grave unknown lies the heart that beats so true. He sang faint and hungry among the famished brave, and they laid him sad and lonely within his nameless grave. spirit in thy grave unknown. I'll find you and know you among the good and true. When a robe of white is given for the faded coat of blue. And just a little crumb, and my mother, she will bless you through all the years to come. Oh, tell my sweet sister, so gentle, good and true, that I'll meet her up in heaven in my faded coat of blue. No more the bugle calls the weary one. Rest, noble spirit, in thy grave unknown. I'll find you and know you among the good and true. When a robe of white is given for a faded coat of blue. Yet my heart with startling beat, with each footfall at my door, I gaze over the hill where he waved a last adieu. But no gallant lad I see in his faded coat of blue. No more the bugle in thy grave unknown. I'll find you and know you among the good and true. When a robe of white is given for a faded coat of blue.
We're back. How we doing? We still got a country? Can we get a 10-minute hold on the United States? I'm going to do a tribute to the Italian people. Somebody sent me this, and I'm going to read it to you. And it's all about the Italians. I just want to make sure I got everything here. Nothing worse than reading page 2 and you haven't read page 1. Well, let me give you a tune because I'm missing page 1. So hang in there.
There go my baby, moving on down the line.
Tribute to the Italian people. My roots are deep in an ancient soil, drenched by the Mediterranean sun and watered by pure streams from snow-capped mountains. I am enriched by thousands of years of culture. My hands are those of the mason, the artist, the man of the soil. My thoughts have been recounted in the annals of Rome, the poetry of Virgil, the creations of Dante, and the philosophy of Benedetto Croce. I am an Italian-American, and from my ancient world, I first spanned the seas to the new world. I am Cristoforo Colombo. I am Giovanni Cabato, known in American history as John Cabot, discoverer of the mainland of North America. I am Amerigo Vespucci, who gave my name to the new world, America. First to sail on the Great Lakes in 1679, founder of the territory that became the state of Illinois, colonizer of Louisiana and Arkansas, I am Enrique Tonti. I am Filippo Mazzai, friend of Thomas Jefferson, and my thesis on the equality of man was written into the Bill of Rights. I am William Apaca, signer of the Declaration of Independence. I never even knew that. I am an Italian-American. I financed the Northwest Expedition of George Rogers Clark and accompanied him through the lands that would become Ohio, Indiana, Wisconsin, and Michigan. I am Colonel Francesco Vigo. I am Vincenzo Nolte, who supplied Andrew Jackson for his defeat of enemy forces at the Battle of New Orleans. I mapped the Pacific from Mexico to Alaska and to the Philippines. I am Alessandro Malaspina. I am Giacomo Bellanimi, discoverer of the source of the Mississippi River in 1823. I created the dome of the United States Capitol. They call me the Michelangelo of America. I am Constantino Brumidi. In 1904, I founded in San Francisco the Bank of Italy, now known as the Bank of America, the largest financial institution in the world. I am A.P. Giannini. I am Enrico Fermi, father of nuclear science in America. I am Steve Jeppy, founder of Diamond Comics, the largest distributorship of comics on the planet. I am the first enlisted man to earn the Medal of Honor in World War II. I am John Bazzalone of New Jersey. I am an Italian-American. I am the million strong who served in America's armies, and the tens of thousands whose names are enshrined in military cemeteries from Guadalcanal to the Rhine. I am the steelmaker in Pittsburgh, the grower of the Imperial Valley of California, the textile designer in the Manhattan, weaver in the silk mills of Paterson, New Jersey, movie maker in Hollywood, teacher, homemaker, and breadwinner in over 10,000 communities. I am an American without stint, reservation, or equivocation, loving this land as only one who understands history, its agonies and its triumph, can love and serve it. I will not be told that my contribution is any less, nor my role not as worthy as any other American. I will stand in support of this nation's freedom and protect it against all foes. My heritage has dedicated me to this nation. I am proud of my heritage, and I shall remain worthy of it. I am an Italian American. Bellissima. Okay, let me follow that up with a German's view on Islam. This, by far, is the best explanation of the Muslim terrorist situation I have ever read. His references to past history are accurate and clear. Not long, easy to understand, and well worth the read. The author of this email is Dr. Emmanuel Tanya, a well-known and well-respected psychiatrist, a man whose family was German aristocracy prior to World War II, owned a large number of industries and estates. When asked how many German people were true Nazis, the answer he gave can guide our attitude towards fanaticism. Very few people were true Nazis, he said, but many enjoyed the return of German pride, and many more were too busy to care. I was one of those who just thought the Nazis were a bunch of fools. So the majority just sat back and let it all happen. And then before we knew it, they owned us, and we had lost control, and the end of the world had come. My family lost everything. I ended up in a concentration camp, and the Allies destroyed my factories. We are told again and again by experts and talking heads that Islam is the religion of peace. I don't buy that for a minute. And that the vast majority of Muslims just want to live in peace. I don't believe that either. Although this unqualified assertion may be true, it is entirely irrelevant. It is meaningless fluff, meant to make us feel better, and meant to somehow diminish the specter of fanatics rampaging across the globe in the name of Islam. If Islam was on the level, they would have stopped them. The fact is that the fanatics rule Islam at this moment in history. It is the fanatics who march. It is the fanatics who wage any one of the 50 shooting wars worldwide. It is the fanatics who systematically slaughter Christian or tribal groups throughout Africa, and they are gradually taking over the entire continent in an Islamic wave. Not only that, but they nail Christian boys to wooden chairs. It is the fanatics who systematically slaughter Christian or tribal groups throughout Africa and are gradually taking over the entire continent in an Islamic wave. It is the fanatics who bomb, behead, murder, and honor kill. It is the fanatics who take over mosque after mosque. It is the fanatics who zealously spread the stoning and hanging of rape victims and homosexuals. It is the fanatics who teach their young to kill and to become suicide bombers. The hard quantifiable fact is that the peaceful majority, the silent majority, is cowed and extraneous. Communist Russia was comprised of Russians who just wanted to live in peace. Yet the Russian communists were responsible for the murder of about 20 million people. The peaceful majority were irrelevant. China's youth population was peaceful as well, but Chinese communists managed to kill a staggering 70 million people. The average Japanese individual prior to World War II was not a warmongering sadist, yet Japan murdered and slaughtered its way across Southeast Asia in an orgy of killing that included the systematic murder of 12 million Chinese civilians, mostly killed by sword, shovel, and bayonet. And who can forget Rwanda under President Clinton, who said genocide has to be 1 million people and this is only 800,000, which collapsed into butchery. Could it not be said that the majority of Rwandans were peace-loving? History lessons are often incredibly simple and blunt. Yet, for all our powers of reason, we often miss the most basic and uncomplicated of points. Peace-loving Muslims have been made irrelevant by their silence. Peace-loving Muslims will become our enemy if they don't speak up, because, like my friend from Germany, they will awaken one day and find out that the fanatics own them, and the end of their world will have begun. Peace-loving Germans, Japanese, Chinese, Russians, Rwandans, Serbs, Afghanis, Iraqis, Palestinians, Somalis, Nigerians, Algerians, and many others have died because the peaceful majority did not speak up until it was too late. As for us who watch it all unfold, we must pay attention to the only group that counts, the fanatics who threaten our way of life. Lastly, anyone who doubts that the issue is serious and just deletes this email is contributing to the passiveness that allows the problem to expand. Let us hope that thousands worldwide read this and think about it and send it on before it's too late. Now Islamic prayers have been introduced into Toronto and other public schools in Ontario, and yes, in Ottawa too, while the Lord's Prayer was removed due to being so offensive. The Islamic way may be peaceful for the time being in our country until the fanatics move in and we are silent. And it's funny you should mention the Lord's Prayer, because I got to tell you something, that's a communist tactic, using the Muslims as an excuse. Because I saw the opening of a business meeting with 300 Muslims in Dubai by an American woman, and she opened with a prayer, and the prayer she used was the Lord's Prayer. And you cannot, the Lord's Prayer does not offend any one religion, because it begins with Our Father, and everybody believes that God is our Father. Who art in heaven, everybody believes He's in heaven. Hallowed be Thy name. They will never curse the name of their God. Thy kingdom come, and they believe in paradise. Thy will be done. You have to obey the word of God. On earth as it is in heaven, why not? Give us this day our daily bread, we like to eat. And forgive us our trespasses. We have to atone for our sins, as we forgive those who trespass against us. I don't know if the Muslims would do that. The Christians would, just before they get their head cut off. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation. That's why the girls wear burqas, because they know the evil in men's minds. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Keep us away from the flesh spots. Deliver us from evil and bring us to life everlasting. Or for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. And that is all true. Now tell me, why would anybody be offended by that? Only a communist would be offended. A communist who wants to destroy your country. He talked about the Nazis and Hitler. Hitler died in 1945. The Nazi Party died in 1945. The Communist Party is alive and well and growing with the aid of many Americans. and Canadians. So, who's the enemy today? The enemy of God is the enemy of all of us. You have to Google the 45 goals of the Communist Party that was entered into the congressional record in 1962 by people that knew more about the threat of communism than we do today. And why don't we know about the threat of communism like they did? Because we're brainwashed. Your media has been taking your brain and slicing and dicing it for 40 years. Remember when they told you Walter Cronkite was the most honest newspaper reporter? And yet he sold out the Americans in Vietnam. He's paying for it now. He's with Ted Kennedy in boiler number 3. But they'll all tell you he was a great man. So was Stalin. So was Mussolini, who's now governor of New York. What's my definition of a political hypocrite? A political hypocrite is a mayor who insists that another mayor not be given a third term of office because the law says you can only have 2 terms. And then, when he is elected mayor, he changes the law to give himself 3 terms. That's a hypocrite. And one day he'll be in boiler number 3. And you know what? He's going to wish they had 32-ounce sodas. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. I thought I'd take this time right now to share my party platform with you. And that some you might agree with and some you might disagree with. But at least we're heading in the right direction. What are you doing tonight? You want to start a revolution? So, in my book, I say I elected to devote 14 chapters to tell you what is on my mind. I hope you get the message. Who knows, maybe one day we can elect an American chosen by all the people instead of the lesser of 2 Democrats. I hope you enjoy the Spirit of America Party. The cover, it says, "Take Me to the Beach," and then it's got a big eagle and an American over an American flag, and then it says the Spirit of America Party. And you can get it on Amazon, which I recommend you do before the war starts and they confiscate everything. So here is the party platform. 1. $10 a barrel oil worldwide, like it was in November 1998 before jihad taxes. Now, we have the ability to get oil down to $10 a barrel, but they're not letting you do it. Why not? Are they saving the oil for the new masters? Are they saving the oil to give to the Chinese? They're going to use the oil to pay the debt? That's all right by me. Use the oil to pay the debt and fire everybody that raised the cost of living. Yeah. Number 2. 1 million fewer abortions in the USA per year. Can't we save one kid? 1,200,000 kids a year are murdered. 1,200,000 immigrants, legal immigrants, come in to take their place and claim their Social Security number. 3. Better treatment for poor American Indian tribes who serve as warriors and never complain. They should be allowed to swap land under treaty for better lands. Let's take care of our own first. I know the Indians, American Indians, got problems, but you want to know something? They're our brothers and sisters in America. They're grandfathered. And the least we can do is to help them rise up. For the better. 4. Increase in income for police and military. At the time I wrote this, I called for a $1 million combat zone death benefit and $500,000 per loss of each individual limb/vital organ. I would change that to $5 million and $1 million per loss of each limb and vital organ. The liberals will tell you they're against war, but they're also against paying the troops that are left to take their place because they're not going to the battlefield. Yeah, so if they're really against war, and never trust the guy who says he's anti-war, what he really means is he's anti-win. He doesn't want to see this country survive. He won't tell you that, only when he's in the shower talking to the soap. Yeah. So, I say, if you're against war, put your money where your mouth is and pay $5 million for every fallen GI. And you know what? We will never go to war because they'll never spend that money. So that's a good deterrent to war. Pay more. Immigration, we got to slow it down till we regain control of the flow. And that goes for visas, too. Visas have to be scrutinized. We've got to know why these people are here, and we should be checking the ratio on how many come and overextend their stay and can't be found. And we should know that. 6, complete elimination of drugs in the USA. 90% of all crime would disappear tomorrow. 90% of all crime would disappear tomorrow. And the abortion rate would drop if we got rid of drugs. Use Indian tribes to patrol the borders. Do not pay for scalps, only beards. You know what worries me about paying for scalps? I believe that the government, one way or another, subsidizes child murder. And instead of paying for scalps like they used to pay, like the French used to pay for British scalps in the French and Indian War, and the Americans used to pay for Indian scalps, I believe that they're paying for crushed skulls. And I believe that the government somehow gives Planned Parenthood $1,500 a crushed head, whether it's the state government or the federal government or through a grant, through the side door. And I'll tell you, no Christian should ever have to subsidize child murder. And we're 80% of the population of the country, and we can't even protect the unborn from being slaughtered by Planned Slaughterhood, who kills 3,000 a day. 3,000 kids a day. Now, you just picture a Treblinka. Could they kill 3,000 people a day? 4, tax deduction for religious education. Religious people in this country pay twice for education. First, they got to pay for their child to go to a private school. And then they got to pay for their child not to go to a public school, but they got to pay for the expenses of their child who should be in the public school, according to the state. That's not right. You should only have to pay for your kid to go to school one time. 1-year draft for all at age 19. Happy birthday to you. This, I said, a down payment guaranteed loan, $100,000 for home buying or small business venture or education, but it's dependent on 1 year of military service. George Patton called it universal service. Universal meaning everybody, everybody. And that's the way it should be. You shouldn't have a president of the United States tell his National Guard commander he's on the way, and then he goes to London to smoke weed and protest the war. And by the way, I never knew this, but Jimmy from Brooklyn says that Bella Abzug from New York was a Nazi when Hitler and Stalin had made a pact. But she was really a communist. And when Hitler invaded Russia, Bella Abzug turned against Hitler. and supported only Joseph Stalin. And I'm reading a book called Black Something, and it's not race. So don't worry. Put your notes down. And it's about the fall of South Vietnam. And when America was convinced by the communists that we had lost, we started to pull out, and we left South Vietnam on its own, but we didn't supply them. It was Bela Abzug who called for the disruption of aid to South Vietnam. So she was a true communist, and she's in Boiler Number 3 with Ted Kennedy. Anyone who has served in the War on Terror can walk into any American university and demand their free upfront seat. 11. Charity begins at home. Let's take care of our own first, full time. Did I tell you I met God at Burger King? I met him, but I didn't realize it till after he left. It was a Sunday morning, and there was an elderly woman in front of me in line. She was in line next to place her order, and the girl behind the counter recognized her, and she said to this frail old woman, "Oh, you want the usual?" And the woman said, "No, I only have a coupon for one." And the girl said, "Oh." So she gave her one croissant or whatever it was. And the woman left. And after she left, I smacked myself in the back of the head. I said, "You jerk. You just missed God. You were being tested and you dropped the ball. I should have signaled that girl behind the counter, I'll take care of the second one. Just do hand signals. Give it a two." Right? What would it cost me? 98 cents. And I missed the opportunity. So you got to be on your toes, because you never know when God's going to pay you a visit. And the girl couldn't have another coupon? I got a coupon. I got an extra one here. Couldn't have done it. Come on. So let's take care of our own first, full time. And 12, stop buying friends. I don't want to buy the Muslim Brotherhoods of Friendship with 22 F-16 fighter jets and 200 tanks that are all going to be used, all but one. All but one will be used to kill Israelis. Yeah, the other one of each are going to go to China so they can be splashed. You know what splashed is? It's reverse engineering. They take the product, like the drone that was flown into Iran by the United States as a gift, landed, perfect landing, not a scratch. That gets splashed. And that's technology that's being given to the enemy. There was a movie, I think it was by Miller. What's that guy's name? Arthur Miller. And it starred Burt Lancaster. And his father had a factory. And he was making pistons for Allied aircraft. And his father was cutting corners to make more money. And the planes were... the engines were breaking up and the planes were crashing. And Burt Lancaster said, you know, called his father out on it. You know, your greed is killing men overseas. And that's another example of selling technology. I don't believe that GE is not giving a technology to China that China doesn't have. GE is too close to China. And the Chinese are very clever. And they know how to extract information and get what they want. And if you want an example, the 38th parallel is one in Korea. You want another example of Vietnam? The Paris peace talks. Anytime America sits down to negotiate, America loses. and then the press tells you we won. We are bad, and we're not that great, especially when it comes to diplomacy, and especially when it comes to media reporting. You see, this media, they're in the communist camp. So stop buying friends. As a matter of fact, if I was president, I would announce in 10 minutes my allies and friends and my coalition of the willing. I have bad news. We can't pay our bills. Don't expect anything from us for a while, a very long while. In the meantime, you could be my friend. Hello? Hello? Where are you guys going? All foreign language stations must have English subtitles. I like Zika on the Latin American channel. It's about the Portuguese in Brazil in the 1600s. But I only can read emotion in motion. I can't understand the language. They should have subtitles, and vice versa. For American programs, they should have Spanish subtitles so that the Spanish can correlate the English with the Spanish and improve their vocabulary as I improve my vocabulary. So in Portuguese, all foreign language stations must have English subtitles. We need everybody to speak one common language, the one that is on the Declaration of Independence that was signed and dated this 4th of July in the year of our Lord, 1776. Anybody tells you God and country is separate, then tell them how come they signed the Declaration in the year of our Lord. And you know what? I'm listening to a doc that it's on ABC today, and he happened to mention in the year of our Lord. So I'm not the only one that recognizes God. Basic foreign language training for all military personnel. There should be some basic language training. If you're going to invade Iran to blow up those nuke sites, you should be able to speak a little Farsi. Basic language training, I said that. Free binoculars for everybody on the East Coast and a profiling chart. That's a little joke. 16. All media has to display the flag and play the Star Spangled Banner once a day. The Pledge of Allegiance has to be said in all workplaces, events, schools, and rock concerts. And Mickey Jughead can only sing in prune commercials, and I want to tell you, I want to see Bruce Springsteen do a pro-life concert. I want to see him save all the babies from being murdered. And he can open up the concert with the song Born in the USA. Because inside the womb, that POW has already been born, and he's born in the USA. 18. The Pledge of Allegiance has to begin within the name of the Father. That's a joke. 9. But if you go to my Boycott NBC YouTube video, you will. Here's how you find it. I pledge to thee, Boycott NBC. I pledge to thee, Boycott NBC. And I start the Pledge of Allegiance within the name of the Father. And when I'm in the Pledge of Allegiance, I say, under God, three times. And the Great White Father in Washington could have a nice tan. I would take Carson, Ben Carson, over Obama in a fetal heartbeat. The guy has got metal. M-E-T-T-L-E. He's got the fixins to be a great American. Obama is not going to make anybody proud. You're only going to have to tell lies. 20. If you offend anybody under a First Amendment pretenses, you must wear a size
29 clown shoes forever, including bed.
That should be the cast of Saturday Night Live.
They should all have to wear size 29 clown shoes.
Here's one you'll like.
All politicians have to take a lie detector test immediately before and after campaign speeches.
My son says they should only be allowed to do 4 years in office, followed by 4 years in jail.
23. One term only for all politicians. Really serve your country. Minimum wage, no overtime, no perks. We will keep the trillions. And 24. One American, one vote. Even though I believe our military vote should count as 10. $1 champagne contributions maximum. Whether it's GE or Joe the Plumber, the most you can contribute to any crooked politician is a dollar. We'll call it the Crooked Politician Act.
Hang in there. We'll give you a tune. Okay. So, Joseph Stalin said that the three greatest attributes of an American are patriotism, spirituality, and morality. And what are they trying to destroy in this country today? Spirituality, morality, and patriotism. Those are the three targets. The three targets. So, you have to strengthen your strengths. You have to come back to God and come back to your country and defend it. And have faith with your fathers.